How's everybody doing? Welcome back to another episode of The Banker Next Door. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Berquist. Today, I wanted to start off with some big news that happened this week, and that is the world of realtors is about to get turned on its head. You had the NAR, which is the National Association of Realtors, came out with a huge settlement. Basically, it came out last weekend, and then it's been the kind of talk of the U.S. real estate industry this week. A plethora of articles out there about this whole situation, and I'm going to bring a couple in here right now so we can kind of go through this a little bit. So, basically, the first article here, I've got a couple articles here from the Philadelphia Business Journal, and I got a couple of articles here from the Wall Street Journal. And so the first one I want to look at here, this is called Seismic NAR Lawsuit Settlement Will Transfer Home Buying Industry. So many have predicted that this will mean that lower commissions and fewer total agents. So, and then just to read a comment in here, so I'm confident that if the buyer is paying the commission, the amount will be more heavily negotiated and will be reduced. Realtors, though, may now require some payment up front from the buyer since there will be increased uncertainty about how they will ultimately be paid. We are still in a seller's market, so I can envision some sellers not being prepared to pay the buyer side agent or limiting the amount they will pay. The question then is whether the buyer has the resources to pay the buyer's portion of the commission. But ultimately here, the industry will inevitably change. The industry will be in transition as everyone digests the settlements and market forces begin working. I think we will begin to see some creative buyers agents arrangements that may have been harder to get transaction on before, but these changes won't happen overnight, and I anticipate a certain amount of uncertainty for the coming months. MLS, which is multiple listing services, rules will need to be changed, agreements will have to be modified, business practices reconsidered, and mortgage underwriting adjusted. So, there's a lot to unpack there. So let me kind of take a step back for a second and kind of explain what is going on here. So, and it's kind of hard here because again, I'm in Pennsylvania. A lot of other people, I can't necessarily speak to how real estate works in all other 50 states around the US, but, I think the main gist of it is something similar. So, you know, you have realtors, right? You have two realtors. They're both, you know, real estate agents that are both members of the National Association of Realtors. So they're realtors. You have somebody representing the seller and somebody representing the buyer. Now, what happens in the real estate transaction is that the fees, which generally are about 5 to 6% commission fees, those commission fees get paid by the seller. So at closing, the seller pays that, say, 6% commission fee. The fee goes to their seller's agent, and then that seller's agent, as per the contract, agrees to pay half of that or 3% to the buyer's agent. And that's all part of the contract that goes in. It's all part of the sales agreement and everything. And then you have broker agreements that get signed and things like that. So that's traditionally how this has worked, where it's actually the sellers of the property that are paying the commission for the buyer. Thus, this is what has caused the issues, and this is what has raised the lawsuits that have come in. So if I can go to another, so here's another article. So this is called Realtors Reach Settlement That Will Change How Americans Buy and Sell Homes. So NAR agreed to abandon long-standing industry rules that have required most home sale listings to include upfront offer telling buyer's agents how much they will get paid. Under a system in place for a generation, sellers have typically set buyer's agent fees. Consumer advocates say the arrangement has prevented buyers from negotiating to save money and kept commissions in the U.S. higher than in most of the world. So in other words, again, to get back to that point of like the way that the thing is structured. So, I will also tell you that I've heard a number of realtors, there's a saying in the legal community that whoever pays you owns you. And what that means is basically whoever pays you is who you're ultimately, that's who you're working for, you know? So the question always becomes from an ethics standpoint, well, if the buyer's broker is being paid by the seller and the seller's broker, then who are they really working for at the end of the day? Are they working for the buyer or are they working for the seller and the seller's agent? You know, so that, so there's this, you know, there's this, this give and take that goes on there. There's also something called dual representation, where you were, you know, one agent can represent both the seller and the buyer, but that's, that kind of gets into a different scenario there. But there's a lot of interesting things to unpack here. Like, I think on the one side, you can make the argument because of the, because of new technologies that have come out and because it's a seller's market, that what are real estate agents, the seller's agents, like, what are they really doing to earn that commission? You know, they take, you know, a lot of people, I think, would simplify it and say, well, they're taking pictures and they're putting, you know, they put my property on the MLS listing service. And then in 3 days, you know, we get 16 showings and then boom, the house is sold and that's the end of it. So what, and they might get a, you know, $30,000 commission out of this. So it's like, so I lost $30,000 and what did they really do for me other than putting some pictures up online and putting up some property information? So there's, I think there's an argument to be made there. It's like, what are the sellers really doing? On the other side of it, the buyer's agent, you know, the argument could be made that the buyer's agent is the one that's really doing all the work. I mean, they're the ones that they got to take the home buyers. They're probably taking them around, showing them 10, 15, 20 houses sometimes, spending a lot of nights out with them, having a lot of conversations, just spending hours and hours and hours working with them. And then finally they find a property and they sign the agreement on it. And, you know, so, you know, then it's like, okay, so how are they getting paid and what's going on now? That's one thing. You could have these kind of arguments about value, about who's really providing value and why are, you know, agents making kind of as much money as they are on different ends of the transaction and all that kind of stuff. So there's arguments, I think, to be made on both sides there. It also depends very much on what type of a market it is. Is it a seller's market? It's a buyer's market. We've been in a seller's market for a while now. But things could shift. It becomes a buyer's market. Now a selling agent's got to do a lot of work to get that. They got to do a lot more work than normal to get that property sold. So there's a lot of things going on there. The other thing is, I think, just around, which is the cost of buying a house, the cost, the settlement charges. So, part of the reason I think why the broker's fees got pushed off on the seller is that, you know, the fees for the buyer in the transaction are already super high. They're paying, you know, real estate taxes. They're paying for the bank's fees for underwrite. You know, you gotta pay to underwrite the mortgage, and you gotta pay for the title insurance. You gotta pay for the cost of the appraisal. You gotta pay for an inspection report. You know, you've got a, you know, you got to escrow like funds, like I said, for taxes and insurance and everything. It gets very pricey. I mean, if you buy a, you know, a $300,000 house, you know, you could have settlement charges of, you know, $15,000-$17,000, you know, after all the costs are incurred. And that's on top of the 20% down payment that you got to put down on top of it. So I think that part of the rationale was like, oh, well, we'll just push off this cost for the buyer's agent onto the sellers. And I think logically, at the same time, a lot of sellers are going, wait a minute, like, why am I paying for the buyer? Why am I paying for the buyer's agent? Like, why, you know, what, again, I'm just selling my house. Like, I worked really hard to buy the house and take care of it and pay down the mortgage and put myself into a position where the house would appreciate and I would build equity in there. And now when I'm selling the house, I'm getting, you know, I took it on the chin when I bought the house, and now I'm taking it on the chin when I sell the house. What does that make? So I think one of the really interesting things for now, this lawsuit, there's a couple things going on here. First of all, this has to be, and it goes into this in some of these other articles here, like, you know, the NAR settlement, you know, here's what's about the, you know, here's what to know about payouts for the commission settlement lawsuit. So first of all, a judge has to approve this, and then the money's going to get taken. It's going to be taken from NAR. They're going to put it into an account. And then if you are eligible, like if you bought a house, I think in the last, what was it? dating back, I think, to 2014. You're gonna be able to go on. There's gonna be a website. You'll be able to fill out a bunch of information and say, yeah, you're due to owe something. But then, you know, the Justice Department could get in front of this. The lawyers are gonna make a huge chunk of money out of this. I saw in here they have legal fees. You know, about $68 million are going to lawyers. You know, and then the amount of money that gets in there might be adjusted. And then again, according to NAR data, roughly 5 to 6 million homes are sold every year, which could mean a large number of people vying for a relatively small pool overall. And it's going to take months. And then basically this stuff is supposed to kick in July of this year. So this spring selling season will be, you know, normal as it's been. But then after July, a lot of this new stuff is going to start to kick in. And the question is, well, what's going to happen with buyer agents? You know, are buyers going to now have to sign different types of contracts or agreements with the buyer's agent, basically have to agree to pay them X amount of dollars to show them properties and to perform certain services for them? Will you just pay the buyer's agent to just write you up an agreement of sale or review an inspection report or do other things? So I think, you know, you're going to have a lot of changes here. And then if we look at this article here, as spring begins, tide may be turning. And I'll find this for a second here. So okay, let's see here. So experts and agents across the region seem to agree that the activity this spring will be more so spurred by homeowners who have to move due to life events rather than moves to upside or downsize, with rates not yet seeing the declines made hope for this year. Homeowners have been holding on to tightly to low rates. That's not what I was looking for. Inventory. All right, that's not really what I was looking for there. But anyway, the question becomes, like, how is this all going to play out in terms of, is this going to be an added cost for buyers, particularly first-time home buyers? Like, are they going to have an added expense now on top of them? What's going to happen with the seller's agent? How is technology going to play into all this? You know, I mean, and then the Realtors Association, they think that fees here could basically be cut. And the new commission structure could pose challenges for first-time buyers and others who are struggling to save for a down payment, because the buyer's agent's commission has long been baked into the sale price. The buyer was able to finance that cost over the length of the mortgage instead of having to pay it up front at the closing table. And then I want to get into, so, okay, and it goes into this example here. So this seller bought a 3-bedroom townhouse in a town called Bothell, Washington in December. And the husband and wife, they said, you know, they didn't think their real estate agent had a strong incentive to bargain on their behalf, because the agent was being paid a percent of the sales price, meaning the agent got paid more if the home sold for a higher price. So in this entire system, there's absolutely nobody looking out for the buyer. So again, kind of one of the arguments as to why this whole thing was happening. And it goes on to say here that it is possible that little will change for consumers in the near term, because many sellers are used to including the cost of a buyer's agent in their sale price. But over time, new brokerage business models could emerge that make it easier for buyers to choose low cost options. But the thing I really wanted to say there is that obviously realtors are concerned that the number of realtors could dramatically decrease, and that the amount of the commissions could decrease. They're looking at this going, okay, there's like $100 million in broker commissions annually, and that could get cut by up to 30%, you know, dramatically reducing the amount of commissions, and then thus it will reduce the number of realtors out there. I take a slightly different view on that. You know, I actually think reducing the number of realtors would be a good thing. And I think a lot of people in the industry would agree. I think, you know, one of the problems with real estate, with realtors in particular, is that pretty much it's the point of entry is so easy. And you don't really need to know anything to become a realtor. You go in, you go to a local real estate school, you know, you buy the courses, you sit there for a couple months, you take a couple classes, then you pass the real estate test. And if you pass the test, then you go to a brokerage, you know, the broker sees you pass the test, he signs off, and then boom, you pay the fee. Now you got a real estate license. And then most brokerages, if they're retail brokerages, they'll make you, you know, join the statewide or the local realtors association. So then you pay the fees, you become a realtor, and, you know, and off you go. And the problem is that you have people that have been doing the job for decades, and maybe they've got a specialty with like luxury homes or rental properties or foreclosures or whatever the case may be. They've developed kind of a niche in that residential world, and they are very good at what they do. They're highly experienced. They're very knowledgeable. They know what they're doing. They generate a lot of sales, a lot of commission business, do a lot of stuff year in and year out. And, you know, and then you've got the realtor who's like, you know, I hate to say it, but it's kind of like the part-time mom, you know, the part-time mom who's just doing on the side, who sells, you know, two houses a year or whatever, three houses a year. And not, you know, they might have been doing it for a long time, but in terms of volume, deal flow, the number of transactions, the type of transactions they do, they're not generally overall highly experienced. So then the question is like, what are they really bringing to the table in terms of value, other than perhaps some kind of a personal relationship or knowing, you know, maybe it's a neighbor they help out or a friend, or, you know, a lot of times that's kind of the MO of what happens here. So, I don't know that the number of realtors being reduced is a bad thing, because I think what you would end up there at the end of the day is more competent realtors, people who are truly dedicated to the business, who are full-time working out there. You know, they're working it every day. They get up there, have a lot more experience, and thus to become, you know, more productive, you know, just better at their job, better able to service you, to bring more value to the table. Because again, I mean, realtors do have a stigma, right? I mean, there's like, you know, we've all heard the things over the years that, oh yeah, I put realtors right up there with used car salesmen, you know, or maybe even below used, or maybe, you know, realtors or even below used car salesmen. I mean, you hear all these kind of cliches, and there's the, you know, you go online, there's, you know, you'll find, you know, millions and millions of stories, of negative stories about people's interactions with unscrupulous realtors who've done different things or whatever. I don't know that the shrinking of the number of realtors out there is a bad thing. I think it could actually be a good thing for the industry, and I think it could actually really help. I also think you could potentially see this shift in fees over time. Like, again, if you go to any seller and you say, hey, I'm going to reduce the amount of your closing costs, I'm going to put more money in your pocket at closing because you're not going to have to pay that buyer's agent fee, there's not a seller around that's going to sit there and go, oh, sure, yeah, I really want to pay that buyer's fee at some point. Like, no, that could be, depending on the size of your house. I mean, if you're selling a $500,000-$700,000 house, I mean, my gosh, that could be another $15,000-$20,000 that you keep in your pocket. I mean, you know, it could become a sizable amount of money. So, you know, so I think a lot of sellers over time are going to say, no, I don't want to pay that fee. Why should I pay that fee? I don't need to pay that. And they're not going to want to do it. The buyers, if they have to pick up an additional fee, I think you're going to see other fees are going to change to kind of absorb that cost. Like, so in other words, something's got to give, because there's already so many costs on the buyer side of the transaction. You know, you can't dump another giant, you know, $10,000 fee on top of that, or maybe even more. It just makes, you know, like I said, I use the example of you buy a $300,000 house, and you know, it costs you $16,000. Now you dump a $10,000 buyer agent commission on it. Now it's $26,000 to buy that house. I mean, it just drives the unaffordability drives it right into the ground. So something's got to give there. I think something's going to have to shift and change over time. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. You know, the other thing, and I'll leave on this, is that, buyer commissions, if I could find it here, around the world are much lower than in the United States. Like the United States has some of the highest real estate commission costs in the entire world. It's pretty incredible. I didn't realize that. But you know, I can't really find it here. But yeah, I mean, you compare us to like Europe, other places. I mean, we're charging 6% and these other countries are charging 2%. So it's a giant. So I think we're primed to see a reduction in the overall, you know, commissions that get charged. I think technology is going to play a role in that. I think the agreements, the way that this stuff works is going to change. But just really, really interesting topic here. Really interesting topic. And I think it'll be really interesting to keep an eye on this. Obviously, if you're looking to buy or sell a house this year, just know that, you know, if you can try to do something in this spring selling season before all the new rules and everything kick in here in July. We'll keep an eye. We'll keep an eye on it and see what happens. But if you like this video, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe. I would be really interested on anybody's comments, particularly if you are a realtor out there. Please leave some comments below. I'd love to get the feedback from people in the real estate industry. See what you know, what your thoughts and what your comments are on this. And obviously, this is going to have an effect on bankers because obviously, you know. A lot of bankers that do residential mortgages, it's going to have an effect on that. Could be some interesting things coming down the pike with that. If you got a mortgage banker out there working for a mortgage company doing different things. So it is going to have an effect very much on the banking world and how residential transactions are financed and so on and so forth. So, but anyway. Thanks for joining. I hope you love this thing. Like I said, make sure to like, share, and subscribe, and I will be back again real soon. See everybody later.